What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com NXT TakeOver Review. I'm doing this because I will not be on the post shows on Fightful.com. Going to give you some quick thoughts, not some really extended thoughts, but just a reminder, every Tuesday, 10:10 Eastern, Alex Palowski, you get Alex's Sour Graps NXT Review. I am so excited for the masses to discover what so many of the Select subscribers already know. And that's that Alex Palowski runs a wonderfully miserable one-man show. I am so excited about it. But let's talk about the night one matches. You got Toni Storm dropping a match to Zoe Stark. That's big. I mean, it's big for both of them. Big because I don't know how Toni Storm returns to singles relevance anytime soon. As a result of this, now we know that in WWE, you can't even say you're as good as your last victory or your last performance because they give people title shots for no reason. But when you look at that, and Toni Storm came to the U.S., lost to Zoe Stark, she lost to Io Shirai for the women's title last month. The month before that, she lost in a triple threat women's title match. She only beat Jessi Kamea via DQ. She was in the Rumble, didn't have like a very notable appearance there. She was bounced in the early rounds of the Dusty Tag Classic, and really there's not been a lot to her by the way of winning since December when she beat Rhea. But other than that, like, it's a red flag that she's going up. Now, I know that Triple H says, oh, well, when other people lose in these other territories, people aren't saying, oh, well, they're leaving, they're moving. Well, I mean, that's a little bit different. People on SmackDown don't lose their way out and then pop up on NXT or Raw. That doesn't usually happen like that, unless there's a draft coming up. And then people absolutely do say that. Because if Kevin Owens loses three straight matches on SmackDown and we got a draft coming up, there's a really, really good opportunity or chance that he's leaving. So I would not be surprised to see Toni Storm popping up on Raw or SmackDown next week. I'm not saying that it's happening. Again, it's a hunch, not a report. Zoe Stark, that's a big win. And she needed that big win because you can only ride off of that first squash match and then her good showing against Io Shirai for so long. That's been a month and a half ago. Since then, Zoe Stark lost a bunch, so she needed something to reestablish herself. That was a good way to do it. I thought that was a pretty good call, especially if Toni Storm's hitting the bricks. Pete Dunne and Kushida, you guys already know this is my jam. I love Kushida. I love chain wrestling. I love the double wrist lock. And not just necessarily throw it into a headlock, head scissors, flip out, all that chain wrestling. I'm talking about, like, into big spots, into stuff in the corner, the top rope, running off the rope, stuff like that. A faster pace to that chain wrestling. And that's what they did here. Pete Dunne picking up the win. You kind of knew he was going to pick up the win. I didn't think that this result was really in doubt. But, I mean, it's one of those matches that I just absolutely loved despite that. It didn't really matter to me. It was just a good match, and that's what they were here to do. I do think that Pete Dunne should have been defending those tag titles in some capacity, either before this or whatever. I don't think this match was so important to the story of NXT that Pete Dunne could not have defended the tag titles with Oney Lorcan in some capacity. Am I glad that we got this match? Yeah, I'm super glad that we got this match. It was really great, but I don't think that you necessarily really needed it to in sacrifice of those titles. I'm glad we had it, though. Dexter Lumis, Bronson Reed, Leon Ruff, Swerve Scott, LA Knight, Cameron Grimes. Bronson Reed wins the gauntlet match. He moves on to face Johnny Gargano. LA Knight had a great showing here. There's a lot of people that think that LA Knight is just a microphone and a promo and, yeah, stuff like that. He's not. He's a very, very good athlete. And I'm glad that he got the opportunity to show some people that. I was fearful that they'd have Dexter Lumis win this. And I know Dexter Lumis works really, really hard and has embraced this gimmick a whole lot. But I was not that interested in it. And I really wasn't that interested in Bronson Reed moving on. I knew he was by the end of it. because they got to have a baby face go up against a heel. But he won me over. That was such an incredible finish. He does like an over the shoulder. It's basically a reverse tombstone. You're putting somebody over your back, sort of like the White Noise, but you drop straight to your ass. I used to try that in training an awful lot, and we would film it a lot of different ways to see what looked the best, to see what looked the worst. It's really, really hard to pull off with cameras because it becomes evident that the person's head isn't actually hitting the ground, and that's the image that you want. So the other option is what you do it away from the camera. Well, then people kind of know anyway, and it doesn't look as impactful. This one looked so good. Bronson Reed's looked so perfect. I was so happy to see that move because I knew it was a move that can be pulled off with regularity and be safe, especially with the level of talent you got here in NXT. And I'm excited to see him do well. I thought that Cameron Grimes trying to pay off Swerve Scott was good too. You got some advancement in the Leon Ruff Swerve Scott story. So I like that an awful lot. Spots galore in the NXT Championship match. MSK continue to get their roses. They beat Grizzled Young Veterans. I believe they got the pin on Grizzled Young Vets. If not, I think that Phantasma should have been taking the pin here. Grizzled Young Veterans would have had another reason to be upset and pissy and all that. But spots galore here. MSK win. I want to see some story in this division to complement the great athletes. And 2020 tag team wrestling, once the pandemic hit in NXT, it was not great. It was not something that I exactly looked forward to. They made me care about a couple of teams, but there was still a lot to be desired. This is what I desired. Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez. This match had a few minutes cut from it, I believe, but there wasn't so much taken out of it that it hurt the match. There was so much that I loved about this. I liked them going outside. Io Shirai continuing to jump off of stuff. Io Shirai bringing it to Raquel. The build for this match was really good. A champion wanting to face the top contender. And wasn't even necessarily top contender before she called Raquel out. But she said, "You're the baddest chick here. I want to fight the baddest chick here. Bring it to me." What a wonderful build that was. I really enjoyed this. Raquel Gonzalez, I feared that she had like a back injury when she took that spot from Io Shirai, because Io Shirai landed kind of high on her on the ramp, but she was fine. The one-arm powerbomb gets the win, all for it. Raquel gets the victory. I really wish they would have had Raquel celebrate with Dakota. They sent Dakota away. Dakota didn't come back. Now, if Dakota is pissy on NXT, that would make sense. Otherwise, let the woman come out there and celebrate. I know it's Raquel's moment, somebody said, and I was like, tell me why Dakota shouldn't have been a part of that. Dakota was a big part of getting Raquel over and Raquel getting to where she was. I think I wanted like a Shawn Michaels Diesel when Diesel won the IC title moment, like sort of her jumping into Raquel's arms, like they're so happy together. Raquel, I don't want to say like for her character, she seemed too happy. It was uncharacteristic to see her that happy though, right? And maybe not so much if you've been watching the media this week because you see more of her personality. But man, you could tell how much this really, really meant to her. And that was uncharacteristic. I don't want to say it was wrong because it wasn't. I was surprised they did it though. But different isn't wrong. Just because I'm not used to seeing them do something like that, like having the big monster heel celebrate and be almost in tears and happy, doesn't mean it's wrong. It was something that genuinely intrigued me. And I loved it. Oh, I skipped one of the biggest bangers of the night. Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa. How could I forget? I couldn't forget. Oh, they broke a table with Walter's hand. That was funny. You could see the spot where it was zigzag cut out, which I thought was kind of funny, but I liked it anyway. The match was never in doubt. Walter was never losing this, but they made me care and they made me watch, and this was a special kind of match. And this was like half the card. Because we got the night two, of course. Like NXT, if you would have just said, well, this was everybody that made it on to TakeOver, you'd be like, sweet, that was a hell of a show. This might have been the single best Wednesday night show that NXT has put on the USA Network ever, and it was their last one. I loved the finish, adored it. Walter hit a head and arm suplex on Ciampa, and then beat him with a chop. Now, this match went up against the Jurassic Express Bear Country match. I didn't get to talk about AEW last night, but on that match, Luchasaurus won with a standing moonsault, which I've never seen beat anybody in years and years and years, except for maybe Apollo Crews here and there. Maybe it did with him. I loved seeing that. Let some people get big wins with these simple moves, like a chop, especially if you're putting that chop over big time. And I loved the Triple H quote on the media call when he talked about when somebody asked if Eric Rowan versus Walter was something they'd book, which, okay, sure. Triple H said, everybody wants to face Walter until they get chopped by him. Ain't that the truth? I want to put over Tommaso Ciampa's gear and his condition. He looked like $1 million physically. He is a chameleon. He can look 50 years old and he can look like 28, 29 years old. He looked great. His gear, the blue and gold, was really, really cool. Thought that was beautiful. Then we had night two, cruiserweight title match. I always love the visual of two titles hanging above the ring. This was a good match. Very good match. I don't believe in no way is Jordan Devlin 5'10 and Rhea Ripley is 5'7. I had somebody say, well, that's not nice. Being short or tall isn't a matter of nice. It's not bad if somebody's short or tall. I'm just saying, I don't believe it. Escobar got the win. Some really cool spots in this. Jordan Devlin has a beautiful moonsault on him. And a couple of the dive spots were good. Of course, Legado del Fantasma gets involved. I mean, you know that's going to happen. So it does give him a little bit of an out in that sense. But he's headed back over to the UK. He'll do some stuff there. But, I mean, keeping the title over here, I mean, that was a decision why I wondered how that would work out. But, I mean, 205 Live's over here. It ain't over there. So, and it's not like Escobar is on that show that much. I know many of you don't watch it, nor do you care about it. But I watch it, and the Cruiserweight title isn't really on the show that much. So, I thought this was a really good ladder match. Wasn't the best I've ever seen, but it was good. It made a lot of sense to do as well. And I love that when it's not just a ladder match for the sake of ladder matches or any story, any stipulation match. It has a reason behind it. Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon defeated Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. This is pretty good. It was okay. There's some weird spots. Like Ember was doing some weird stuff in there, like the dancing punch. I didn't quite get that, I don't think. I will always love that Dominator cutter spot. Roppongi 3K do it. Sho and Yo, they do it. And I love it. It's like the person slides underneath the Dominator to get the cutter. Just a really smooth looking move. Makes a lot of sense. It could be their finish. There was an eclipse fairly early in the match. But the biggest spot early in the match was Shotzi Blackheart almost dying, like she does every single time she takes a dive, it feels like. And I don't know if Indy and Candice didn't catch her. I don't know if she just flipped wrong. I don't know what the hell happened. It looked gnarly. It looked insane. But Shotzi and Ember pick up the win here. Gargano, Bronson Reed, up until this, up to this point, first probably half of the show, I thought this was the best match up until then, from night two. Bronson Reed went in there and had a match that mattered with an opponent that mattered, and he looked like $1 million, and Johnny looked like $1 million. There was a spot that I particularly loved. By the way, Tower of Doom spot in the women's match. Gotta stop doing that. So annoying. So ridiculous. Hate that spot. I'll tell you a spot I love. Johnny Gargano catching Bronson Reed in a standing Cobra Clutch, but Bronson Reed is down on one knee, and it wasn't a traditional, like, rest hold. Johnny Gargano is throwing knees into the ribs of Bronson Reed, which you don't necessarily see a lot. It's a nice, simple twist on a classic move that makes just so much sense. And I love that Gargano got the win with two slingshot DDTs. He had went to for a slingshot spear earlier on and bounced off of Bronson Reed. Another great visual, another great spot. But I loved him using the two one final beats to finish Bronson Reed, because he is like sort of a Godzilla of NXT, even though he's not booked as a Godzilla of NXT. I feel like if they would have pushed him consistently from the time he showed up instead of 50-50ing this guy for so long, I think this could have been a big major takeover match. Like this unstoppable monster, Bronson Reed, the Godzilla of NXT, going after Johnny Gargano. But that's not what we saw. We saw him lose to... We saw him get tossed out of the Battle Royal. We saw him get beat by Cameron Grimes last month. It ended that hot streak that he was on, because between, I think it was October and January, February, he wasn't losing. And before that, he would get 50-50'd anytime he was on TV. Well, I don't want to say 50-50'd, because from, I want to say June through August, when they led up to his ladder match, he was doing good too. But man, imagine if he had won all the way from like June, July, August, all the way until here. But the only way that he's been beaten is in a ladder match or battle royal, which didn't see him get pinned. I think that would have been good. Johnny Takeover continues to be Johnny Takeover. No big surprise. Karrion Kross, Finn Balor, not the main event. I just want to say the presentation of Karrion Kross, I do not like. And maybe I'd like it more if WWE had less characters that are kind of like this. This is, this the lip syncing and all that, it is not for me. I don't like it. And like I said, if they did just lesser, like, I don't want to say occult, but you know what I mean. Like, these types of odd, crazy gimmicks, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. Bell to bell, boy, do I love Karrion Kross. Right up my alley. Love the flip into the bridge out of the triangle arm bar. Really dig that. Love all the strikes that he lays down. And he ends up beating Finn Balor. This match kicks ass. Probably the best match that Karrion Kross has had in NXT so far. And I mean, I know he hasn't had a whole lot of them, because he got hurt last year, but there were times when I would watch his matches and I'd be like, ah, this is going to be like the Bobby Roode era atop the NXT title situation. But I thought this was just as good, if not better, than his match with Davey Boy Smith Jr. at Bloodsport and his no DQ match against Escobar in February. I just thought those were really the best things that I've seen him do. And this was right up there with it. This was an outstanding match. Balor doing some of the best work of his career. This is a far cry from the Finn Balor that would just throw front drop kicks and look like they would hurt him worse than they hurt his opponent. This was just an outstanding title match, because admittedly, sometimes I do lose some confidence in NXT at the top of their card, because of the way that they book a slow plodding match as opposed to something with a good pace and high spots. Now, I'm not saying that that's always happened in NXT, but sometimes that happens. That's a trend that they have leaned more towards. And to me, if you're watching NXT, that's probably not what you're there to watch. You know what I mean? Well, if you're watching NXT, you probably were there to watch Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Kyle O'Reilly won the unsanctioned match. Their theme songs are not sanctioned by any sane human being. Those are terrible. They got to get something better for these new theme songs. But this match, whoo boy, the Cole Baker family is really, really good at these unsanctioned matches, as it turns out. Kyle O'Reilly wins. You know what that implies. Where will Adam Cole go? What will he do? And let me tell you, based on what I know, that's an even more confusing question right now. But just what a body of work he's had. And the spots in this match with the chain, they set up to do. There were some that didn't make sense, like the armbar and the chain. That was weird. But the clothesline with the chain, oh, geez, man. Neck breaker on the chain, that's a way you get herniated discs. That was really good. O'Reilly's use of MMA within matches is so good. Just so good. Like, he'll apply a guillotine choke, and the guillotine choke, while he's standing on the top of the stairs, while Adam Cole's at the bottom, that helps his leverage so much. And it just makes it look even wilder. He knows how to put on that guillotine choke in a way that if MMA fans are watching, they're like, oh, he's got that guillotine choke on really, really well. And I really respect that. The table did not budge in their table spot at all. There was Cole cracking O'Reilly over the head with a TV. There's going to be like five major spots I even forget to get to right here. I thought that Cole was going to use pliers on Kyle's teeth, which would have been really funny, but just this was a very, very violent, brutal match, and it had to be to end the greatest stable in probably the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, WWE. I would definitely say over the last 15 years, they're probably the second best stable after the Shield. Once you get past the Evolution era, I think it's the Shield, and I think it's Undisputed era, and that's it. And Adam Cole goes out on a stretcher. What else is there for him? There's nothing left for him in NXT. He's done it all. But what happens when he goes to the main roster? Now, I used to be a let it play out on the main roster type of guy. I'm not anymore. I'm not. They got Damian Priest up there struggling to get out of chin locks. They got Rhea Ripley just showing up, and then she's like costing herself tag matches. It ain't exactly instilling a lot of confidence in me. And the booking has gotten progressively worse over the last few years. This match is a go out of your way to see it match. I do think that night one in totality was stronger. But Jesus, man, this was an all-time great takeover both nights. Just what a fantastic way to really launch this week. I was on a positive note with that Hall of Fame, getting to see so many people honored. And now two great nights of takeover. I'm excited for the Battle Royal. I know it's ridiculous, but I love Battle Royals. NXT TakeOver, guys. Make sure you all check it out. I'll try to post some match ratings or something, some short ones. But incredible stuff. Until next time, guys, we're out.